Dearest Cindy, thanks for sharing your download from the sky. I am assuming by Wilbur you mean some pig. And the theology would be guided by E.B. White's Charlotte's Web. My friend's son called me Charlotte Spider because he could remember the name through this association. Or is there some other film to which you are referring? The email continued with some interesting long-legged spider facts and personal experiences, including that they are good housemates because they stay off the bed and eat the furry little black and or brown creepers every chance they get. Please rise now, in body or spirit, to sing hymn number 207, Earth Was Given as a Garden, which you will find in the gray hymnal. The text was written by UU Quaker Roberta Bard and was a winner in the hymn competition celebrating feminine imagery of the divine. In the opening chapter of E.B. White's classic children's book, Charlotte's Web, Fern, the daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Arable, finds out before breakfast that her farmer father is going to axe, literally, the runt of the newly born litter of pigs. She runs to catch up with her papa, saying, "Please don't kill it. It's unfair." Her father tells her to control herself. Sound familiar? Something that you feel emotionally passionate about and you get told to control yourself? Women especially know this tactic for trying to keep us from speaking up and speaking out about injustice. Fern responds, "Control myself? This is a matter of life and death, and you talk about controlling myself?" Fern begins to cry, takes hold of the axe in her father's hands, and attempts to take it away from him. "Mr. Arable, don't you just love the irony of this name for a farmer who's about to deal a life-denying blow to a runty newborn piglet?" Mr. Arable gives his daughter the "I know more about this than you do" speech, but Fern won't be dissuaded. Her line of argument about the unfairness of her father's decision raises issues surrounding what we can control. The pig couldn't help being born small, could it? And whose life has more worth? If I had been very small at birth, would you have killed me? For Fern, all life is precious, and the taking of this undersized baby pig's life is the most terrible case of injustice I ever heard of. Papa is swayed by her argument just enough, although not completely, to give Fern a chance to raise the runt herself. Papa tells Fern, "He's yours, saved from an untimely death, and may the good Lord forgive me for this foolishness." For Fern, it is love at first sight. She saw perfection in this tiny white piglet, no bigger than a white rat, as her older brother Avery dismissively describes it. Of course, Avery then wishes he could also have a pig, but Pop says, "No, I only distribute pigs to early risers. Fern was up at daylight trying to rid the world of injustice, and as a result, she now has a pig. A small one, to be sure, but nevertheless a pig. It just shows what can happen if a person gets out of bed promptly." I'm glad you're laughing along with this, because when I reread the book recently, I just hooted and hollered. Fern names her pig Wilbur, and thus begins a beloved story of mercy and redemption on the Arable and Zuckerman farms, and what it means to be part of a beloved community wherein each and every being is important, and the well-being of the community is a result of the interdependently connected individuals that make up the whole. We are in the midst of Lent, the 40 days spent preparing Christian believers for the holy day of Easter, when Jesus' resurrection from death is said to have occurred. For those who engage in the season of Lent, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are common activities for this time of year. People may also add a spiritual practice, such as daily devotions, or increase their time spent in worship, prayer, and service, as a means of drawing nearer to the holy. I suspect that many of you have personal experience with Lent, experience that I have not had myself, having been raised Unitarian Universalist. In the last several years, I have noticed that more and more of my colleagues, ministers and religious educators alike, are finding ways to adapt the core elements of Lent, like the season of Advent before Christmas, to Unitarian Universalist values and beliefs. A 2012 blog written by a self-identified lapsed UU woman named only as Sarah explores what meaning and benefit practicing Lent could have. This laywoman grew up Catholic and had experience in another Christian tradition. She explained the traditional repentance-aligned practices of giving up vices or other material goods related to the original 40-day fasting tradition. These were meant to get the person to look inward at themselves and possibly make permanent changes for the better. Contrast this to a second path of spiritual practice and service to others. Sarah wrote, "The second path looks outward as well as inward. It could bring us out of ourselves and into deeper connection to the world. Perhaps this season can offer a chance to reflect about, then act on, the principles we hold as true. The seven principles offer fine guidelines for living in this world and are well worth 40 days of consideration and conscientious action." Some of you may have seen the Lenten calendar that I posted as a photo on my Facebook page. This year's 2019 photo a day hashtag UULent was created by Mr. Barb Grieve and designed by Alex Capitan. Starting on March 6 and extending to Easter Sunday on April 21st, each day has a word to focus on. For those choosing to participate, we are asked to intentionally reflect on the daily word, carry our awareness throughout the day, and capture an image that represents the word for us. The reflections and images are shared using the hashtag UULent on social media. There is a Facebook page if you're interested in seeing reflections and images that have been shared. On Sundays during hashtag UULent, we are encouraged to not only reflect on the daily word, but to embody and enact it in our lives. Today's word is, coincidentally enough, mercy. Charlotte's Web is, as I said, ultimately a story about justice and mercy. Fern saves Wilbur from the axe in his infancy. All's well for some time as Wilbur grows into a healthy and robust young pig, but he's lonely. Sure, he's met the barnyard animals, especially the geese, the sheep, and Templeton the rat. Fern comes to visit him at the Zuckerman's barn when she can, but it isn't as often as it was. Three square, or rather sloppy, meals a day just doesn't satisfy all one's needs. Meeting the basic physiological needs is all well and good for staying alive as an individual or a species, but we also need love, kindness, compassion, and friendship. Sometimes we need others to advocate for us, and we may at times even need mercy. And then Charlotte the spider appears as a voice in the dark, offering the friendship that Wilbur so desperately seeks. From that time on, Charlotte takes as her mission saving Wilbur from becoming Christmas dinner or any other meal for the humans who feed him. How can we embody and enact mercy in our lives? Mercy is an act of grace. It goes beyond mere tolerance, which is hardly a positive stance towards another person, being, or worldview, to accepting them for who they are. In Charlotte's Web, Wilbur accepts Charlotte in all her complexity as his friend. He thinks she's beautiful. She's nearsighted and can't see him as clearly as he sees her. At first, Wilbur is disgusted by her choice of food, a product of her inheritance, and the cruel way that she traps and eats her meals. What a gamble friendship is. Charlotte is fierce, brutal, scheming, bloodthirsty, everything I don't like. How can I learn to like her even though she is pretty and, of course, clever? Reflects Wilbur as he settles down for a nap after a sleepless night. Wilbur was merely suffering the doubts and fears that often go with finding a new friend. In good time, he was to discover that he was mistaken about Charlotte. Underneath her rather bold and cruel exterior, she had a kind heart. She was to prove loyal and true to the very end. Have you had that experience in your life of rushing to judgment about a person, someone's beliefs, or how they express themselves or live their life? After first impressions or when we learn more, we become more accepting of differences. The world around us is abundant with diversity of form and function, including outward appearances. What we experience, how we view those experiences and interpret them for ourselves, is as different as each of us as individuals are, despite our commonalities. We must try to understand each other's own experience and how we make meaning in our lives. It happens that today is designated as Transgender Day of Visibility, a reminder to celebrate transgender and gender nonconforming people around the world and the courage it takes to live openly and authentically while also raising awareness of the discrimination and oppression gender non-binary people encounter on a daily basis. What would it be like for our transgender, gender non-conforming, and gender non-binary family members, friends, acquaintances, and strangers to experience the mercy of acceptance of who they are in their utterly human wholeness? What would it be like to feel the transforming grace of simple approval? To have someone put up a sign saying, "Some human being, terrific, radiant." Our third principle of Unitarian Universalism urges us to embody and enact mercy through acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth. This is something we do on our own and within our chosen communities. It builds on our affirmation that everyone is important with inherent worth and dignity, and that we are all in this together as an interconnected web of existence. Before I turn over the microphone to Pat, I ask that you join me in a prayer of confession called The Courage to Begin Anew by Rosemary Bray McNatt, in which we ask for mercy and the healing power of grace from that which is greater than ourselves, so that we might be a source of mercy and grace in the lives of those around us. Please pray with me. In this moment of worship, we call to mind those times of failure and regret common to all of us. Remember first in silence those times when we have failed to do all that we meant to do, or through our actions failed to be all we were meant to be. We now recall our moments of integrity, those times we have lived into our deepest values and acted as the human beings we always dreamed of being. We choose at this moment to lay down the burden of our shortcomings and grasp the courage to begin anew. Together we affirm our capacity for goodness and grace, for freedom and purpose and joy. We are not trapped in our past, but freed by creation to live and grow today. With gratitude, we say, blessed be, namaste, and amen. Will you join me now for a time of prayer and silent meditation, settling ourselves comfortably into our seats. perhaps closing the petals of our eyelids over our eyes. We join our hearts in the spirit of prayer, asking the spirit of life, the spirit of love, to be in us and among us, reaching our hearts out in compassion to those who are experiencing illness, personal distress, challenges financially or family dynamics, or maybe just having a hard time as the season changes. We reach our hearts out in compassion and care to those who are lost in whatever lostness is in their lives. We reach out in compassion and care with our hearts to those in the world who have so much difficulty just getting along with others, with showing love instead of hate, with feeling secure instead of fearful. We reach our hearts out in compassion and care, sharing the sense of joy that we experience with new beginnings, with newfound teammates or friends. The joy of experiencing the world around us in all of its glorious beauty. The spring springing forth, the trees flowering, daffodils, forsythia, tulip trees, cherry blossoms, kites in the sky. There is joy to behold, joy that warms us through sun and also through gentle rain as it falls upon the earth. Spirit of life and of love, hold us gently in your embrace. Nurture our joys. Tenderly cradle our sorrows. Help us know peace in our lifetimes. Amen. Blessed be. Namaste. We have another hymn, number 6, Just As Long As I Have Breath. Please rise in body or spirit. Join your voices in song. Blessed are we who gather with open hearts together in this space today. Blessed are we, the chalice lighters of resistance, justice, love, and faith. Blessed are we, the heretics, the outcasts, the walkers of our own way. Blessed are we, the border crossers, the refugees, the immigrants, the poor, the wanderers who are not lost. Blessed are we, the transgressors, the trespassers, the passers-by, the cause-takers, the defiant, the compliant. Blessed are we, the hand-extenders, the sign-makers, the protesters, the protectors. Blessed are we, the trans women, the trans men, the non-binary, the cisgender, the multigender, the no-gender. Blessed are we, the friend, the stranger, the lonely, the hidden, the visible, the authentic. Blessed are we who rise in solidarity. Blessed are we who cannot. Blessed are we who do not. Blessed are we, for this is our beloved community, and this is who we are. The words of Andrea Hawkins Camper. We extinguish this chalice, for the worship has ended. Our service begins.